Hello, my name is Drew Christopher, and I will be reviewing Teaching Tornero by Georgianne Irvine, published by Blue Sneaker Press. Teaching Tornero is a nonfiction book about an adorable sloth named Tornero who works as an ambassador at the San Diego Zoo. The book explores his life as a young sloth, as well as the many adventures he's had up to this point. It also describes how his trainers taught him to become a good ambassador and how to love being around people. I loved all the photos, which were very cute and fun. They really helped make the story intriguing. I give this book 4 out of 5 chilies. The book is recommended for kids ages 6 to 10. The book is called Teaching Tornero by Georgianne Irvine, published by Blue Sneaker Press. This is Joe Christopher from the Children's Hour.
Many thanks to Joe for that book review. Up next, this is Don't Splash Marty with the Sloth Song.
Some time to catch up? Okay. Listening to the Children's Hour, we're talking about sloths today. And as Georgianne Irvine from the San Diego Zoo told us, there's a lot of problems facing sloths today. They're vulnerable to deforestation, injuries, and even illness. And we wanted to talk with somebody who actually helps sloths recover when they're suffering. That's called rehabilitation. Sam Troll is the co-founder and director of the Sloth Institute. That's in Manuel Antonio, Costa Rica. Welcome to the Children's Hour, Sam. Tell us what the Sloth Institute does.
One of the main things that the Sloth Institute does, or at least I would say the most time-consuming and expensive, is the actual rescue, rehab, and release of sloths. And when we first started the Sloth Institute 10 years ago, our very first research project and the big goal was to figure out how to release hand-raised orphan sloths, because at the time it wasn't actually being done in Costa Rica. It was thought to not be possible because the theory was that hand-raised orphan sloths didn't know how to survive in the wild. But after I raised my first set of hand-raised sloths, I knew there was no way I was leaving them in a cage for the rest of their lives. But I wanted to make sure and do it in a very careful, scientific way so it could be replicated by ourselves and by other rescue centers. And also so we would be there for every step of the way in case the sloth needed any help. So that's when we started our tracking program. And we track sloths using little collars with batteries that go around their neck. They're very non-invasive. We make sure they're very small, less than 2% of their body weight. And that's how we were able to create the first and the best successful protocol for how to release hand-raised sloths. And then at the same time, we're simultaneously studying the behavioral ecology of wild sloths to make sure that they are, in fact, doing well in the wild. And then to tackle long-term issues with sloths, habitat destruction is the biggest threat that they face. So we work with landowners to help them better trim their trees, or try to convince them not to trim the tree if it's a really important tree. But if it is a tree that they have to trim, we work with them to make it not so horrible for the animals. And then we also put up rope bridges throughout the forest to try to prevent sloths and other animals from even getting to the roads to begin with. We call those sloth speedways. And then we have multiple different research projects that we do to study the behavioral ecology, the wild health of sloths. So all different things like that.
How many species of sloth do we know about?
Currently, there are 7 species of sloths recognized by science. So 2 two-fingered species and then 5 three-fingered species. They actually just recently discovered another species in Brazil like a few months ago. So this is like a newer thing. It used to be 6, now 7. So the 2 different types of sloths are separate genuses. The 2 different types of sloths have been evolving separately for at least 40 million years, making them the most extreme example of convergent evolution in mammals. Their closest ancestor that they ever had that was similar is at least 40 million years ago, whereas our closest ancestor with chimps, for example, is 4 to 6 million years ago. So we're way more closely related to chimps than the 2 different kinds of sloths are to each other. And I think that that's really cool.
Since sloths mostly hide in the trees, how do we know how big the global population is?
It depends. So, for example, the most critically endangered sloths, like the pygmy sloth, which is only found on one little island off the coast of Panama, they think that there's only a few hundred of those guys, but they're only found on the island. And so it's easier to census them because you only have to look on that one island. As far as like in the country of Costa Rica, there's not really a good ballpark figure. We have a ballpark figure for Manuel Antonio of probably around 3,500 sloths, so like 3,000-ish of both kinds, like together. But then also the density of the sloths varies. So there's a lot of them really like to be near the beach. So Manuel Antonio has a higher density. As soon as you start going inland and higher up in the mountains, that density goes way down. That's one reason it's really important to protect biodiversity hotspots. And then, of course, I'm specifically talking about sloth hotspots. And with emerging diseases, for example, if you look at koalas in Australia, 10 years ago, nobody was worried koalas were going to go extinct, but now they are. And it's a combination of wildfires and a seriously infectious disease. So even if a species isn't considered technically endangered, that doesn't mean they're not still in danger. And sloths definitely fall under that category because they're not only susceptible to all the same things all other terrestrial animals are with climate change, but they're also susceptible to diseases, to habitat destruction. So it's important to save sloths now.
That's Sam Troll from the Sloth Institute in Manuel Antonio, Costa Rica. We've got more questions for her in just a moment. You're listening to the Children's Hour.
A sloth in a tree, playing up in the leaves. I don't move all that fast, like to make the day last. I've got friends all around, on the trees, on the ground.
waving up air to me. I smile for them to see. And the world moves so fast around me. Monks swing from tree to tree. They've got so much energy. I wonder where they are off to. I wish I could catch up to you. Monkeys swing from tree to tree. They've got so much energy. Won't the world just slow down for me? Upside down here, I'll spend all day up here. If I climb from this tree, it'll take all day for me. I like quiet and peace, hanging round eating leaves. Life is so good, it seems. It's the life made of dreams. And the world moves so fast around me. Woo! Monks swing by everywhere, swinging here, swinging there, everywhere. I wonder where they are off to. I wish I could catch up to you. Chew on my leaf as I watch them swing. They've got so much energy. Won't the world just slow down for me? I'm a sloth in a tree. Won't the world slow down for me?
That's Mr. T and Friends right here on the Children's Hour with the sloth song that is just called Sloth. It's actually an anthem of sorts for the Sloth Institute. There are guests today on the show. We're with Sam Troll, who's joining us from Manuel Antonio, Costa Rica. Sam, your organization does rehabilitation with sloths. Why do sloths end up needing rehabilitation?
That can vary around the country as well. One of the most common reasons we see injured sloths in Manuel Antonio is electrocution, especially with adult two-fingered sloths.
Yeah, I had read about that there's just bad transmission lines in Costa Rica that aren't insulated. And so the sloths just touch a transmission line, an electrical wire, and they get electrocuted. What else do you get?
Orphans is another huge one. And with orphans, the reason why they're orphaned is very varied, and sometimes we don't know. But electrocution is for sure, I would say, the number one issue, along with habitat destruction. Those two obviously go hand in hand. But the thing with habitat destruction is that there can be all these secondary losses. So with electrocution, it's very obvious this animal was burned. But with habitat loss, it can be something as simple as one tree was taken out of the home range of a recently weaned sloth. That weaned sloth is very small when mom weans them, which means she stops giving milk and leaves the baby on its own. And mother sloths will leave their babies in the natal home range. So it's at all the places where she showed them where they could find food. So when one tree is taken out of that habitat, they all of a sudden don't have enough food to grow up and to survive. So they can slowly get sick from being skinny and having a weakened immune system and things like that. So that is caused by human encroachment in their environment, but it's not obvious. It'll just come in as like a skinny, sick sloth. And so every time we rescue a sloth, we can never say that it definitely isn't connected to human encroachment in some way. It most likely is. Also, dog attacks is a big problem.
How do you figure out what care a sick sloth needs?
So the first thing we do is we do a health check exam. That includes taking measurements like the weight of the sloth, the quality of their skin. We check their eyes, their ears, their nose, basically like a full examination of how healthy the sloth is. And then based on what they've been through, then we start a treatment plan. So for orphans, they go into our sloth school system. they start being raised based on what age they come in at. So newborns start at elementary school. And then if it's an older sloth, like let's say one that was already weaned by its mom, but, you know, it lost a tree in its natal home range, and so it's not doing so well, but it's already weaned. So those guys can go straight into high school, for example, and it doesn't take quite as long to get them fully graduated and back into the wild and free. With injured sloths, depending on how critical they are, like, you know, if they're on IV fluids versus being able to be hand fed, sometimes our vet needs to do surgery. A lot of times, unfortunately, electrocutions will immediately kill and completely fry one of their limbs, which the only thing you can do in that situation is remove the affected limb, because ultimately the sloth would die. But luckily, sloths are as sensitive as they can be. They also can be very, very strong and can survive incredible trauma. So we have a pretty good success rate, even with all of these horrible injuries that we see.
So you've got this great process for helping the animals, but I would imagine it takes different amounts of time to rehabilitate a sloth. How long can that take?
So sometimes sloths, when they're dispersing, so they've gone through their natal home range, they've gotten to the dispersal weight, and so then that's when they leave the natal range to go find somewhere else for them to permanently live. And most mammals have some sort of dispersal, or animals in general, so that they don't accidentally inbreed with their relatives.
Oh, wait. Their natal home is their birth home area. And then dispersing, you mean spreading out, like they move out as young adults, kind of like humans.
But when a sloth does this, it's the most dangerous time in their life, because they're going into a period of food uncertainty, and also in a human encroached environment, just general safety uncertainty. So when that happens, we get called out, we rescue the sloth, and we notice that they're really dehydrated, really tired, and they have a bunch of ticks. And when that happens, we give them a few spa days because their immune system is really depressed at that point. They're very hungry. But after like 3 or 4 days with us, they're ready to go. They just need like a good meal, maybe, you know, help getting the ticks off. And then we find them a really nice place to live, and we take them to a much better forest than where they were found. So that's the best case scenario. The longest amount of time we have sloths with us would be two-fingered orphans, because they take 2 years to fully finish growing up and be released with us if they come in as a newborn. So, and three fingers take about a year. In the wild with their mothers, it takes about half the time that it does with us. So a three-fingered mom spends about a year with gestation and then post-birth time with the baby. Two fingers, it's much longer. So gestation for two fingers is 10 to 11 months, even longer than us. And then they're with their mom for a whole year after they're born. So there's a lot of maternal investment with sloths and their moms. So for sure, the orphans are with us the longest. Or somebody who's severely electrocuted, that can take maybe like 6 months for, or broken limb, that takes a really long time to heal as well.
Oh, ouch, poor sloths. We're talking with Sam Troll from the Sloth Institute in Manuel Antonio, Costa Rica, and you're listening to the Children's Hour. In the background, it's the Sunny Sloth song by Monster Rally from Flowering Jungle. You're listening to the Children's Hour. We're learning about sloths today on the show. You can learn along with us and learn even more, or bring the Children's Hour into the classroom. This episode comes with a learn-along guide. It meets and cites national education standards, and you can find it at childrenshour.org. Look for this episode, Sloths. Let us know what you think of the show while you're at our homepage. We'd love to hear from you. We've got more with Sam Troll from the Sloth Institute in Costa Rica coming up right after this break.
You're listening to the Children's Hour, Kids Public Radio. We'll be right back.
Thanks to the Outpost Performance Space in Albuquerque, New Mexico, for hosting the Children's Hour. Support for the Children's Hour is provided by United Way of North Central New Mexico. Support provided by New Mexico Arts, a division of New Mexico Department of Cultural Affairs, and the National Endowment for the Arts. Support provided by the City of Albuquerque and the Urban Enhancement Trust Fund. Bernalillo County is a proud supporter of the Children's Hour.
Many thanks to the users at tokenibis.org who direct funds to the Children's Hour every week. This episode of the Children's Hour had special support from Sandia National Laboratories.